Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hi. How are you all doing today? I can pretend I'm in a good mood. I'm not. Both our football teams suck. They're 0-2. What else is new? New year. In the Jets' case, new coaching staff. In the Giants' case, new quarterback. Same freaking result. They're both abysmal. They're both not going to the playoffs. How are we all doing? We'll break down all aspects of how pathetic the Jets are, how the Giants found a new way to lose. Maybe we'll mix in some baseball later, and we will talk to the great Joe Beningo. He'll join us today at 5 o'clock. How are you, Tiki?
I'm actually encouraged.
What?
Because this is like the Jets last week, where they lost the game, but there wasn't a ton of problems other than the defense, but we'll get to that in a second. But they looked amazing. They just got outscored by a okay team, a really good team in Dallas Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb's a really good player. Dak Prescott is supposed to be, and he actually played really well when it mattered. The Giants just made too many penalties, and at the end of the day, their defense played really soft. But my biggest takeaway from this game, we'll get to all of this, by the way, and why the defense should not have been playing prevent defense, even though I honestly don't think it would have mattered. Because Brandon Aubrey can kick a 78-yard field goal if he wants to.
It's true.
The 64-yarder made it with ease and hit the net. It hit the net from 64 yards. That means it had at least 8, maybe 10 more yards on the end of it. But that is what it is. My biggest takeaway from this game is exactly what you and Evan, I have been talking about since the beginning of the season for the New York Giants. Jackson Dart, even though he'll have his packages so they can play, quote, 11-on-11 football, is not going to start for this team as long as they are still in it. And by in it, I mean playing competitive football, winning games, doing all the things that look competent from a football standpoint. That's what Russell Wilson was brought here to do, throw for 450 yards and 3 touchdowns and put this team in position to win. The Jackson Dart conversation, I don't want to hear anymore. I know people are so excited to see him, and if the Giants are you know, halfway through the season and they've won 2 games, they're still going to be clamoring for it.
Sure.
But what would be the point? The point is to let him develop and take the reins when he's ready to take the reins. There is going to be no reason to force him, claw him into starting this year. I don't think it makes sense.
It eliminates the premature Dak start.
Yeah.
Jackson start.
Right. No, you're right.
And that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
No, you're
because
right.
100% after last
right.
week, I was about to get convinced that maybe we need to have this conversation.
No, you weren't the only one. I think there were a lot of Giant fans who were convinced that they had to predict what was going to happen on Sunday. They wouldn't have predicted what the hell happened, that's for sure. I don't think there's anyone who thought, it's going to be 40-37, it's going to go to overtime, it's going to be crazy, Russ is throwing moon balls, he's going to put up one of his great performances we've ever seen. I don't think anyone predicted that, but you're right, it does alleviate, at least for now, and that's the key phrase, for now, the talk about a premature Jackson Dart start. But I do need to criticize Russell Wilson, because I speak as a Jet fan and a Giant fan when I say this. As a football fan, I think I speak for everybody. I'm sick and tired of losing.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm sick and tired of it. And so when the Jets had an encouraging week last week, I didn't come in here in a good mood. All right? No, let's not recreate history. I was not happy. I didn't believe in moral victories. So I don't buy that crap. I'm going to treat the Jets and Giants the exact same way. I was not happy. And I lamented the ways the Jets found a way to lose. So let's lament the ways the Giants found a way to lose. And can I start with something?
Yeah, if you would like.
Your freaking quarterback.
What about him?
What about him?
Yeah,
he was unbelievable for 4 quarters.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Like, if you're a fantasy owner, great. As a Giant fan, it was fun to watch. No doubt about it. But Russell Wilson is a guy who's been to 2 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's a guy that's won a championship. Russell Wilson isn't a young quarterback learning on the job. He had 2 plays in that overtime that, I'm sorry, I almost think erase a lot of the good of what happened.
Well, I mean, it only because it cost them the game. You're right.
Well, it did cost them the game. And here's the other thing. We're all going to go crazy about the Giant defense. We're going to get there. Hold on a second. The Giant defense came on the field in overtime and got off the field.
Twice.
And they handed the football to Russell Wilson and said, go win the game. And twice, Russell Wilson did stupid things that cost them the game.
Yeah.
So I get, like, overall, if we're judging the five quarters of football, regulation and overtime, we're going to come down harder on the defense. Absolutely. We'll get there. But Russell Wilson, I thought, erased all his good by his dumbass backwards pass and one of the worst decisions you'll ever see, basically throwing a throw punt in the worst possible situation. I mean, he cost them the game.
Yeah, that was that.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. And, you know, I went back and I watched and I wanted to figure out why he pulled the ball. Like, he was in the middle of throwing it. Darius Slayton was on a stop route out there on the left. And Kair Elam, the cornerback for the Cowboys, was in position and about to break on it. But I think the ball gets there before Elam can break it up or intercept it. And I think Russell Wilson saw him and changed his mind. It was the only place he could go with the football. So it was either throw it to Darius Slayton or take a sack. And so he didn't want to throw it and potentially put the ball in harm's way. That's why he pulled it. The problem was, Russ couldn't hold it when he pulled it. And while I know Bob Papa and Carl were saying that should be an incomplete pass.
No.
It was clear.
It was backwards, yeah.
It was clear that his body, as he was stopping the throw, his body turned left. And instead of throwing it parallel or, you know, towards the line of scrimmage, he threw it backwards.
Yeah.
And
dude, it killed him. It was second and three, and it goes to third and 17. And so, yeah, overall, if we're going to judge the five quarters of football and we're going to rate who played the best, obviously the defense deserves a lot of the blame, especially for the 19-second quick drive and the soft defense they had on Jake Ferguson. I get all that. But in overtime, with these newfound rules that we were prepared for when we talked about it a week and a half ago, the Giant defense essentially did their job.
Yeah.
They really did.
They did. They were fantastic. And they got two stops.
And Russell Wilson, for as great a numbers as he put up, he cost them the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's the learning how to win. And Russ should know how to do that because it wasn't anything that anybody else did. It was Russ not making the plays.
Well, then you say
it was Russ getting flustered in the pocket on the interception, the arm punt that you were talking about, because he felt some pressure in his face. I think that was the only pressure that Marcus Bowe gave up in the game. And he probably could have maneuvered away from it.
Yeah.
Instead of panicking and throwing a go route when Malik Nabors was running to the corner. So it just, like, it sucked to make that mistake in that moment because it cost them the game.
No doubt. And I'm so sick of hearing about how we got to learn how to win. Learn how to win.
Yeah.
I mean, this coaching staff's been here for a long time. Russell Wilson's been in the league for a decade. No more learning. Go do it.
I agree.
Go do it. And so, yes, it was better experience than game one. It was a better, more competitive experience than week one. And the offense actually looked like a real functioning offense.
Yeah, but
At the end of the day, they lost.
Here's what we can't confuse. Don't sit around and say that this team, it could have been 1-1, and who knows if we can make the playoffs. That's not the bar. That is not the bar that anybody had coming into this season. I think playing competent, consistent football was the bar. And they did that. I know what you're saying. I know you're talking about the postseason, but before you can take this massive leap and be a team that's competing for the postseason, you just got to learn how to play consistently.
We are going to.
And they did that yesterday, at least offensively.
We're going to disagree, even though you hear where I'm coming from.
Yes.
All right? We are 2 weeks into the freaking NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
It is the middle of September.
Yes.
I understand where the Giants have been. I understand where the Jets have been.
Mm-hmm.
I am so sick and tired. We all are of accepting on Sundays, well, that was positive.
Okay, so get better. You get better. It's early enough in the season where two losses, while it will kill your playoff chances, because I think it's, 14% of teams that start 0-2?
12%.
12% of teams that start 0-2.
I may have studied the numbers already.
Right, but again, that wasn't the expectation for the Giants.
No, but the get better part.
I need the get better.
Okay.
And so after week one, the only thing I wanted to see in week two was competency, be better. And they were better.
They were absolutely better, but here's my issue with the whole get better thing. And I remember saying this exactly a week ago when you and others tried to say, you can't be angry about the Jets. Mm. Every game is its own country. Every game is its own universe. What happens 1 week doesn't mean anything concerning the next week.
Yeah, but the problem with the Jets, and this is why I think you're projecting your Jet ire also on my Giants, because you got worse. The Jets
got 1,000%.
The Jets got worse.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
As much as you want to laud, or I did, I think everybody did, wanted to laud Justin Fields for his week one performance and the decision-making and his accuracy and his just command of what Engstrom wanted him to do, it was the 180-degree opposite.
1,000%.
He was lost from jump.
From the beginning when he missed an open Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson he missed. Next drive was one play because he fumbled. I mean, that's Joey Bosa, right?
Yes.
Give Joey Bosa credit for the track down because he tracked him from a long way.
He was also unbelievable in this game.
He was ridiculous. Yeah. He was everywhere. But you could feel that Justin Field wasn't ready.
Yeah.
He wasn't the same player that he was a week ago, and that's discouraging.
Well, it's discouraging because they went backwards, but my overall point is just because you do something encouraging one week doesn't mean anything about the next week. And that's my only point. Yes, the Giants went forward in terms of their play, and the Jets went backwards. But the results are the results. They're both 0-2, and just because the Giants had a functioning offense for 4 out of 5 quarters doesn't mean that's going to continue next weekend.
Evan.
It doesn't mean anything.
Evan,
look at the Jets. What does that mean?
You're selling the Giants short. That wasn't functioning. That was the most productive offense we've seen from the Giants in a decade.
Okay, and that was the most functioning, awesome Jet offense we saw in a decade, and how'd they follow it up?
Okay, so that's all that matters.
No, that's my point. You have to win these games. My point to the Jet fan last week and to the Giant fan this week is, yes, it was better. I cannot deny that, team. Mm-hmm. There was improvement, 1,000%. They didn't win. And when you lose, they all count the same. I don't care how ugly it is.
Yep.
I don't care how pretty it is. And so, yes, it was entertaining, and yes, it was encouraging. The Giants are losers again, just like the Jets were losers in week one, and I'm sorry. It's all going to continue.
I think the easiest thing to do for a sports fan, from a fan base, from an organization, from a media standpoint, is to scream and yell and bitch and talk about how bad things are because you lost. And I think that myopically and in the moment, that's probably fine. But I'm not looking at the Giants like that. I'm looking at the bigger picture for the New York Giants. And I don't know why I'm doing it this year, why I'm looking at a constant improvement and growth. As bad as James Hudson was in that first drive where he had 4 penalties for 40 yards or 50 yards, whatever the heck the number was.
It was historic.
It was historically bad.
Yes.
You saw Dave's on the sideline say, get Bo ready. Put Bo in. And Marcus Bo came into that game. And until the last offensive play of the game for the Giants, and that was the interception, you didn't mention his name.
No, it was great.
He was great. Part of it is because the Dallas just doesn't have a pass rush right now, but still, he played. You didn't worry about him. It was a substitution that felt like it was inevitable at some point, and it happened because James Hudson just blew the door off the hinges and said, "Come on, take my job, kid," and he stepped up with his opportunity. So I'm encouraged by that. I'd still love to see Andrew Thomas out there, and who the hell knows when he's playing, but I'm encouraged by Marcus Bowe. I'm encouraged that Malik Nabers had an enormous number of big plays.
It was great.
It was just over and over and over and over again. That Wandell Robinson has a new bend in his game. It's not just run these little 5-yard sit downs and catch it and maybe get a first down. He's running seams through the middle of zones. And so, like, I looked at what the Giants produced offensively. Their run game was drastically different. You throw in the dart package with the zone reads and the triple option that Cam Katabu split all the way down to the 1-yard line on a 24-yard run. Like, I look at it and say, this feels functional. This feels like football in 2025. This doesn't feel like 1998 type of football that the Giants were trying to play a week ago. And to me, that's encouraging. Did it suck that they lost? Yes. But the Cowboys are a good team. I'm not going to sit here and say the Cowboys suck. Everybody wants to say that because they hate Dak or they hate the circumstances around Jerry Jones and how he mismanages or whatever you say manages that team. They're a good team. They constantly win double-digit games. And 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Dak was a runner-up in the MVP. So, you lost on the road to a good team. It sucks. Should you have won? Absolutely. And we can dig into those little things. But from a starting standpoint, I look at this Giants team and say, I'm encouraged.
You know, 95% of everything you just said, I could have changed those words last week and used Jets.
Yes,
and
you're
what
right.
happened this week?
You're right.
That's my point, though. It doesn't matter week to week.
We're talking Giants. The Giants improved. Because it's the only thing that matters.
No, the only thing that matters is winning. That's where we disagree. It's the only thing that matters is winning. They didn't lose. They didn't win. They lost.
If you are the Chiefs, if you are the Eagles, if you are teams that started the season and their goal was playoffs and then deep into the postseason, I hear you. Winning is the only thing. But when your team's like the Jets, who are completely starting anew with a lottery ticket at quarterback, if you're the Giants, who completely remade your offensive quarterback room, and you look, the cornerback room is new and different, the safety room is different, you brought in a new edge rusher, like it's improvement. It's getting better each and every week to the point where you can win games. The Jets took a massive step backwards on both sides of the ball. The Giants, I think, took a huge step forward offensively, and that matters a lot.
They took a step forward. You think they're going to take a step forward next week? And
yes.
The week after that?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yes.
But the league is a reminder that just because you play well and just because there's improvement doesn't mean it's going to lead to anything. You need to take advantage of the wins when they're there.
Mm-hmm.
This was a win right in front of them. And there's a lot of things we can criticize, and we will, over the next 4.5 hours from some of the decisions Brian Daboll made, to the play calling of Shane Bowen, to Russell Wilson's huge mistakes in overtime. Like, there's a lot of stuff that led to it. But there's only 17 of these.
Yes.
And when a win is right there for you, like the Giants had yesterday and like the Jets had 2 weeks ago, you better grab it. And you're right that there was improvement. I can't argue about that, just like I couldn't argue last week about the positives. But it doesn't mean anything if you don't build off of it. You know, if we're sitting here in January and the Giants went 3-14, save me from how impressive the game against Dallas looked. It doesn't matter. I heard this last year. Well, the games are close. They don't matter if they're close. They matter if you win.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants didn't win yesterday, and the Jets didn't win yesterday. Now, the Jets were an all very different kind of awful. They sucked and were non-competitive. And Woody Johnson should write a letter to every single person that showed up at MetLife Stadium yesterday and give them a refund.
Was it full?
Was it full? Mm. Yeah, of Bills fans. But it was embarrassing. It was, and I got this same text message from so many people I know. My dad texted it to me. My buddy AJ texted it to me. Beningo texted it to me. You know what they all said? Same old Jets.
Same old Jets.
And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of saying it. I'm sick of thinking of it. But worst of all, I'm sick of watching it, because it truly was the same old Jets. So it came out very differently for both teams. The Giants were fun. They were exciting. And they improved. They lost. The Jets went backwards. Justin Fields was benchable. And, well, a concussion may keep him benched for week 3. More on that later. It was awful. And we'll hear from you. Now, maybe some Giant and Jet fans can spin this positively. And we'd love to hear it. 888-808-1019. But much like last week, I got something to say to the head coach of the New York Jets coming up in about 5 minutes. Plus your calls, your reaction on what went wrong in the Giant game, and what's next. Plus, is Tiki right? Has this ended the Jackson Dart conversation for now? There's a lot to talk about on yet another familiar-feeling Monday in New York, where, again, we're losers. We'll get to your Giant call in about 90 seconds, but the Jets shot themselves in the foot yesterday. Yes, they lost to a team that's far superior, but they did three things in the first, like, 10 minutes of the game that really eliminated any hope of them winning. Number one, Justin Fields missed a wide-open Garrett Wilson on third down, first possession of the game. Missed him by a mile. Leads to a 3-and-out. That's mistake number one. Another mistake we would later see is Justin Fields putting the ball on the ground when Joey Bosa forced it and Espinosa fell on it, and immediately the Bills get great field position. They kick a field goal. But before that, the other play that was egregious was a 3rd and 19, in which Josh Allen faces pressure, throws a pass to Khalil Shakir that's not completed, and it's about to be a 4th and 19 with the Bills attempting what would probably be about a 55-yard field goal.
Yes.
Now, they probably make that field goal, and it's 3-0 Buffalo, but who the hell knows? But instead, Michael Clemens, who's done nothing as a Jet, let's just be honest, he's been here for 4 years, he's a 4th-round pick, he took those cute pictures when he was first drafted, and he came up to training camp with his muscles hanging out. Michael Clemens has been a waste of time. If the Jets cut him 2 weeks ago, no one would have batted an eye. But he commits an egregious roughing the passer penalty. So 3 plays later, James Cook dances into the end zone, and it's 7-0. I said this exactly 1 week ago. I got my wish. I'm going to say it again. Aaron Glenn, if you are going to be the accountability head coach, then Michael Clemens needs to go. I know JJ got hurt, Jermaine Johnson, he's banged up, so our depth will be hurt. It doesn't matter. Mm. It does not matter. If you're going to hold guys accountable, then hold the guy accountable who has more personal fouls than sacks in his NFL career.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I see that and I hear what you're saying, but it was a 4-point penalty. Did it matter at the end of the game?
Don't say that.
It didn't.
It changed the whole context of the game, though, Teague.
I guess you could say that.
Well, but hold on. They're attempting a 50-yard field goal.
Yes.
Let's say they even make it.
They're making it.
It's 3-0.
I know.
I don't know what happens next.
Okay.
Are we assuming everything goes around the same way?
So it was 7-0.
What?
It was. So then it's 7-0.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Of course, but ultimately, is it?
Yes.
So let's say everything else stays the same.
Well, I can't do that. I don't think sports works that way.
If the Bills kick a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
When Justin Fields scrambles, can't find anybody, decides to run, and then fumbles.
Yes.
And gives the ball right back to the Bills, it's now 6-0 as opposed to 10-0.
That's significant.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, look, here's what you have on me. And it's unfair, but I get it. It is very easy to say, bro, the Buffalo Bills are far better, which they are.
Yes.
You lost the game 30-10, which they did. You got nothing going offensively, which they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you think that one play makes the difference? As a sports fan, I'm always under the assumption that one play can make a difference. It could change the entire trajectory of a game.
Yeah, but roughing the passer is so subjective. This one was not necessarily. The couple that happened on Warrick Robertson Harris, they were ridiculous calls because they weren't roughing the passer. This one, because he was up around the head, I get it. All right, but does that make him a terrible player?
I think the body of work makes him a terrible player, which is why I pointed out everything else he hasn't done here. Like, I'm not suggesting if Quinnen Williams committed a egregious penalty that you mm-hmm. cut Quinnen Williams. That's obviously stupid. But when someone has been an underachiever for 4 years, you could have cut him 3 weeks ago and no one would have batted an eye.
Yeah, well, why didn't you?
Well, that's ask Darren Mooji.
Was there nobody better? Like, why is he still on the team then? Because all I heard in this moment when it happened was, cut him in the middle of the game.
That's what I said, yes.
It's like, yeah. Come on.
I would have cut James Hudson in the middle of the game too while we're at it.
No, all you got to do is bench him.
Well, same thing. You get what I'm saying.
Just bench him. Just bench him. James Hudson, you need for depth reasons. Just bench him.
Well,
I hope he doesn't start another game because Marcus Bowe looked really good. And eventually Andrew Thomas is going to be back.
Well, eventually.
Michael Clemens, can you bench him?
Well, yes.
Can you sit him down? Who's playing edge rusher then?
It doesn't matter, Teague. I actually think
sure
that. Yeah, I really do. I think if you're going to be the accountability head coach,
mm-hmm.
don't you actually have to hold guys accountable?
Yeah, but he made a mistake. It happens 10 times a game, it feels like, in the NFL these days, roughing the passer. You breathe on him the wrong way. You don't land quite, you don't set him down quite softly enough on a sack attempt or just after he throws the football and you get a roughing the passer. I get it. It was a 4-point swing because of it. Does that make a difference in this game?
It could have.
could
have.
We'll agree to disagree. Okay. I just don't think it's a fire him in the middle of the game offense.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I would have fired him in the middle of the game.
I heard that from everybody. And it was like, I was just saying, shut up.
Really?
Because you don't do that.
But, Teague, it's obviously, hold on, let me explain myself because I said it too. No one actually thinks you're cutting someone in the middle of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a figure of speech.
Why didn't you say it for Quinnen Williams or Quincy Williams last week?
Because
cut him in the middle of the
because
game.
Because he's done more. That's why. I'll be blunt with you. Because Quincy Williams is a damn good Jet. Michael Clemens hasn't been one. And yes, it's easier, I admit, to bench or cut somebody when they're expendable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I stand. And Aaron Glenn did it a week ago. We'll see if he does it this week.
It's his first year, and him and Muji's first year. They're trying to figure out who is expendable and who's worth keeping.
Let's kick this baby off with Steven in Brooklyn. Good afternoon, Steven.
Hey, guys. Frustrated Giant fan here. Tiki, you said this yesterday in the postgame show. You said they got that extra possession.
Right,
and when you get an extra possession, you gotta get points, especially when you're on the road.
Yep.
And I gotta be honest with you, I'm sitting there watching the game, right? And mm-hmm. I'm saying to myself, second quarter, 6-7 minutes left, I said, Giants are gonna be moving the ball today. They're not gonna have an issue of scoring. And I'm just sitting there saying that. And what frustrates me the most is that Dable, fine, ups and downs, this and that. I felt like that was a huge mistake not picking the field goal, because you're going to score points.
Yes.
And those 3 points in the second quarter, that made the difference
quarter.
In the game for the rest of the game.
Right. Beginning of the third quarter, Stephen. That's
first possession of the third quarter, because that's when Drew Phillips picked off Dak Prescott.
Yes.
They were set up at midfield, leading in the game 13-10.
Yeah, it was a stolen possession. They only had 5 possessions in the first half, and you stole one at the very beginning of the second half. And I know you wanted to go be aggressive and put 7 on the board and make up for the red zone woes that have plagued this team the first couple of weeks of the season. And I don't mean, even though they scored 37 points, they still had a ton of red zone issues in this game against the Cowboys. Most of the scoring came from deep. It came from down the field. Big plays by Russell Wilson and Wandell Robinson and Malik Nabers. And so when you get into the red zone and you're struggling in the red zone and you stole a possession, just take the points. It's free
points, yes.
It's free money.
Yeah.
Don't give it back. Hey, here's some free money, Evan. Yeah, you give it right back to me. That's basically what he did.
So you wanted Brian Daboll to kick the field goal.
Because the problem with saying kick the field goal is that they dialed up the right play.
Yeah, Cam Scottable couldn't hold on to it.
He couldn't hold it.
And you could tell on third down when they ran with Scottable on 3rd and 3 that Brian Daboll was treating it like 4-down territory.
Of course. He wanted.
He knew.
Yeah, if he would have gotten, it would have been easier if he gets 2 yards and it's 3rd and inches.
Confession?
Go ahead.
Can I confess something to you? Would you agree, and you, Sean, agree mm-hmm. in the Giant community that people were very upset with Brian Daboll going for it on 4th and 2 from the 9-yard line?
I think it's more split than we're leading it out to be.
Okay, good. Yeah. That makes me feel better. I agree with Brian Daboll.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why. And you bring up a great point about the free points. You just forced a turnover. Just take it. I was surmising, and this is how I felt in the moment. I said it's 13-10. I don't believe it's going to end that way. I believe the Cowboys are going to score a lot of points, which they ended up doing, probably more than I even imagined.
Right, which means you're going to have to try to score points.
Correct, which in my brain told me, I don't know if kicking a field goal is going to be enough.
Hmm.
So I wanted to go for the jugular.
But it's not the jugular.
Well, it makes it a 2-possession game. It's not the jugular, but it gives me a greater chance of winning the football game. And I'm setting the Cowboys up where if I don't convert, they're at their own 10-yard line. And if I get off the field, I'll get good field position. What made it worse is that they didn't get off the field. They committed 2 egregious penalties.
Right.
And Javonte Williams was dancing in the end zone 6 plays later. But in the moment, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
In the moment, I was like, good, go for it.
Yeah.
Be aggressive.
Again, I could, in the moment, I get it. And it's just in retrospect, you take the free points.
It's also not a 2-possession game because you're still not, it's not like 4th and 3 at the 3 where we're having that conversation where you're pinning them against the goal line. You're still going to have to go through a whole other set of downs to get in there. The one thing that cannot happen after you get that interception and you're in Dallas territory is leave that possession with 0 points.
Yeah,
point blank.
Yeah, the problem when I rethought about at the end of the game was the biggest issue for the Giants right now, so far in 2 weeks, has been red zone offense.
Yeah.
Even when they were 500 and whatever yards, many yards they had.
They were getting all their touchdowns from well outside the red zone.
Red zone offense is a problem.
Yeah.
And so I didn't trust it. And so if you have a chance to just take 3 points that are free.
Yeah.
Just take them. If your red zone offense is clipping at the 70-75%, hell yeah. You guys got this, man. Call the right play, execute it, go get in first down, and then punching in from the tight red area. I just didn't have faith because their red zone offense has not been good yet this year.
Nathan in Sussex, New Jersey. Hey, Nathan.
What's up? I actually wanted to go for it on 4th down too, but you know, the difference is I'm not an NFL head coach. What comes with this performance now is expectations. And whenever the Giants have expectations, they crap on themselves. We've fallen off so bad as an organization now that the new standard is just being competitive. And it's been like that my whole life. You know, I'm 20 years old, more than half my life. This franchise has just been garbage. You know, yesterday I punched a hole in my wall when Russ threw that pick in overtime.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. And to me,
but
it almost...
when you were six, you saw a championship.
He doesn't remember.
Hope he has a good spackle guy.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That's a 20-year-old Giant fan, which means the last time the Giants won a Super Bowl, he was
six
years old. Oh, you already did the math. Yeah. Good job. He barely remembers it. So he's judging the Giants as if they're the Jets, which is this laughable franchise that goes through head coaches that never wins.
There's a couple of playoff appearances in there.
There was basically one in his lifetime. In 2016, how old was he? Let's do the math again. He was 11.
11.
Ah, yeah. Borderline. Maybe he gets that one.
Yeah, and then in 2022.
So he's got one or maybe two.
He's got two playoff appearances and a Super Bowl.
But I do agree with him that with a coach that's been here for 4 years, with a quarterback that's won a Super Bowl, my expectations have to be higher than we were in the game. This is not a first-year head coach. This is not the beginning of building something new.
By the way.
And so from that perspective, I agree with
him. By the way, you're right. You got to win games. You have to. But I'm not looking at this from a, I'm not looking at it from that standpoint. You got to remember, and I said this last year, and because I called a couple of these games, they were not competitive. It was like they weren't fielding a proper NFL team. That's not the case this year. And to me, that's progress. And all I can look at until they start winning, until they figure out how to not make mistakes in the critical moments and win games like they did in 2022 is, are they making progress? And from week one to week two, it was a lot of progress. It felt a lot more like what we saw in the preseason than what we saw in week one. Now, week one, let's just call it the fourth preseason game. And they figured things out, or maybe Dallas is just not as good defensively. No, I know they're not as good defensively, but they scored 37 points. That's a big deal.
Frank's in Syosset. Hey, Frank.
Evan, I owe you an apology. I didn't mean to call you Evelyn the last time. It was just a slip.
That's all right.
But to answer, before I get to my Giant point, Tiki, the reason for the one sock on the one shoe bit, that came from the honeymooners, not all the family.
Ah.
I agree with Art Carney. And the reason why is because in case there's a fire, at least you have one sock on one shoe and one shoe on one foot, and you can hop out of the house. But getting to the Giants, Tiki, I agree with you 100%. Evan, I have to agree with Tiki. They're the fourth Tiki, you mentioned it, fourth youngest team in the league.
Yep.
Nobody could say that the offense was lifeless yesterday. And I believe that CeeDee Lamb, if you notice, was taunting the secondary after one of his great catches yesterday. And there was also, I don't know if you noticed, there was some hostility amongst Giant players on the sideline.
I mean, I thought there was hostility with James Hudson. I don't know who else. Was there anybody else stuff happening?
I didn't notice anything else besides James Hudson.
Yeah, I thought, interestingly, Malik Nabers was playing a mediator role in that whole, whatever, let's call it an argument or just emotional outburst from James Hudson at that moment.
What could James Hudson be yelling at? He embarrassed himself on a football field.
Probably that that's how you want me to play type thing. Or you want me to be aggressive. And ultimately, the head slap is, he kind of got screwed because he's slapping to hit, I forget what the defensive end was. He's slapping to hit him in the back. He just slipped.
Which one was that? Because he was called for two personal fouls on the first drive. The one that set them back where they were set up to have a first and goal?
No, that
the
was
one before that.
No, there was the one before that.
Oh, okay.
So that was the one where he's
Scatabu had the 11-yard run.
Scatabu had the 11-yard run.
Yeah.
And James Hudson is on the ground, like, back humping whoever the defender was after he planted him on the ground and just pushing him in the head. And it got, 15-yard penalty. But the first one was he's trying to hit the guy in the back. It's a common technique. The kid slipped.
The first,
it was James Houston we hit in the head.
James Houston. That's right.
First,
that's right. I remember because it was Hudson on Houston.
The first one turned out not to matter.
Yes.
Because he gets called for a personal foul. It sets up a second and 35. They get 10 yards back. And then on third and 25, that's when Russell Wilson found Wandell Robinson right at the 1 yard line. But then he was called for a personal foul that moved him from the 2 to the 17.
Yes.
That was the egregious one.
Yeah, the egregious one where he's molesting this dude, defender on the ground.
That was the one where.
That one was stupid. That was like an emotional overreaction. Because of whatever, I don't know. I don't know why he was emotional.
Well, here's what I didn't understand. Because Brian Daboll eventually did bench James Hudson, and we saw Bo play, and he played well. After that personal foul, he went back on the field. And so when they ran
it's the middle of a series.
That's what I was going to ask you. So is it unreasonable to take him out?
Unless there's an injury, you just can't do that.
Okay.
It's just, I cannot see that ever working out.
Okay.
Because now you're throwing Marcus Bowe into a situation where he's got to, like, step right into the feel of what's happening.
That was the only thing.
Being completely cold. I can't imagine that.
That was the only thing I could think of because I'm watching this and I'm like, all right, this guy needs to be off the field. But they got first down on the 17-yard line. Let's see what happens. Maybe they score a touchdown anyway. And he's still out there.
Right.
And then he gets called for a full start.
I know.
And I'm like, wait a second.
It's funny because it not funny, but.
Oh, it was funny.
The false start happened, and I'm like, we know who it was.
Yeah.
I don't even have to look.
So the reason, just for clarity, because I couldn't have been the only one. That I think Carl Banks was doing it on the broadcast, too, screaming, get him out of here!
Yeah.
You may have to find that audio.
Carl definitely was.
It was amazing. The reason he didn't take him out in the middle of the drive is that is very unorthodox to do that.
It's just hard. It's easy for James Hudson because he's just going to go sit down, but it'd be hard for Bo to have just stepped right in.
I would argue it couldn't have been any worse.
To credit Dable, though, it looked like Dabes did want to do it. It was somebody else on that side that I talked to him and said, you can't do this.
Yeah, probably Brasilla, probably the offensive line coach. Like, just let's wait. Wait until this drive is over, and then you'll take him.
Justin is in Tom's River. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thank you, as always, for taking my phone call. You know, that was an absolute disgrace yesterday, the Jets put on the field yesterday. And, you know, as a Jet fan, you know, coming into this season, obviously, you know, we didn't really have high expectations. But, you know, the one thing, I am getting a little sick of Aaron Glenn. You know, his message obviously isn't hitting home in the locker room. You know, obviously they cut Gibson last week with that fumble.
Right.
You know, Clemens shouldn't even be on this roster at this point. Last year he should have been gone. And the fact that you do a roughing the passer penalty on 3rd and 19, and this defense is, you know, the Jets hang their hat on their defense. And, you know, Aaron Glenn comes from a defensive background, and this is the effort you put on the field. Sauce Gardner missing the set, like literally blowing by Josh Allen, ticky-tack, pass interference calls. I mean, honestly, his words need to start hitting to the field because it's just pathetic at this point.
His words hit on the Xavier Gibson cut.
Yeah.
The question is, what do you do now with Michael Clemens, who I'll argue, Teak, it's more than just the one play. He hasn't been a good Jet.
He hasn't been impactful. And so, but this is the challenge when a new regime comes in, is that you can't cut all the guys that you are expendable because you're not going to have a roster. You're not going to have enough players to go play. And so who's better than him is the question that they're asking. Not necessarily on the Jets team. Because there probably isn't. You know, otherwise, he wouldn't have made the team. But is there somebody on somebody else's team that's better than Michael Clemens that we can replace him with? And until you determine that, that's scouting, and they're new to the scouts that were with the Jets. It's just there's a cohesion that's happening layers deep here that the fan is not thinking about. You know what I mean? And so when you say move on from Michael Clemens, cut him right away. Like, you got to replace him with somebody.
You know what? He's gonna cut him. He did it with Xavier Gibson. It took a couple of days. I brought it up to you Monday at the exact same time. It's like a tradition now on Evan and Tiki. We should get a sponsor for the guy that I'm demanding Aaron Glenn cut because they did something stupid on the football field. And we threaten Aaron Glenn. We're like, hey, if you're the accountability coach, right, you got to get rid of him. I think he will because I think Aaron Glenn knows if he really is changing the culture, if he really does want to cut down on mindless penalties, why not cut a guy who's best known for committing mindless penalties?
He's definitely going to do something. I just don't know if it's going to be cutting Michael Clemens. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game every Sunday live all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. This week's game of the week is the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots.
Two teams that are both 1-1.
Yes.
It is the Aaron Rodgers versus Drake May battle. And I must admit, I took some joy in the Pittsburgh Steelers losing.
Yes, because Aaron Rodgers had his Super Bowl in week one.
He certainly did. And so did the Steelers. They're not that good.
Yeah,
That's the other reality.
Not good at all.
And he also had the confusion. You know what I found out? I found out that President Trump bet on the Steelers this weekend. Now, that may sound like an absurd statement. Where did that come from?
Wow. Yeah.
The president released like a post on his social media account destroying the kickoff rules. Right? Just a very, it's a sissy football. This is stupid. I don't like it.
The kickoff rules meaning?
the make it more like a scrimmage play so it's not like high-speed contact.
Well, that play cost the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well,
so this is right out of the Francesa playbook. Like, no, so, you lost the bet and you're angry at something.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Here's my problem with the new kickoff rule.
Yes.
And kickers are now so good that 60-plus yard field goals aren't a problem. Because of the new kickoff rule, most starting, I'm forgetting the average starting line for, you know, offensive drives after a kickoff, it's plus 30-something, plus 30-yard line, right? Brandon Aubrey needed 17 yards, basically.
Yeah.
After the kickoff, you need 17 yards.
It's crazy.
The line to get was the 50. The 50. Like, how is that? I don't know how you make it hard for kickers.
Well, I think they're connected. Because this was mentioned, I forget which game I was watching. It may have been actually the Giant game with Greg Olsen saying it. That because you're getting such great field position, like you pointed out, combine that with the fact that kickers are so good, you barely need to do anything to be in field goal range.
Yes.
So they're connected, but you can unconnect them by making field goals tougher, by maybe
shrinking the goalpost,
something of that nature.
That would be great.
Yeah. But what happened, by the way, in the Steeler game, for those that are not familiar with why I made that joke about Trump betting on the Steelers, is that Pittsburgh was down 17-14 early in the third quarter, and there was a kickoff that was sent into the Steeler end zone.
Mm-hmm.
The new rule says you can't just let the ball sit there.
Yes.
And so Caleb Johnson just started jogging off the field thinking, oh, it's a touchback, no biggie.
Right, it's still a live ball.
It's a live ball.
And you have to down it.
It led to a Seattle touchdown based on Caleb Johnson not knowing the rule.
Yeah.
And you know who I put that on? I love the guy. I put it on Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Players have to know.
You have to know. And I'm forgetting now the rule. If it lands in the end zone and is downed, the ball comes out to
the 35, I think.
I think it might be the 20.
The 20?
Yeah, if it lands.
What?
If it lands in the field of play and then goes into the end zone and is downed or it goes out of bounds, it goes to the 35.
The biggest critique of the kickoff rules is no one understands
it. It might be the other way around.
That's the point. No one knows them.
Is it 35 if it's down in the end zone. It was the 30 last year.
There you go.
If it lands in the end zone.
If the ball lands in the end zone and is downed in the end zone by the receiving team or goes out of bounds behind the receiving team's goal line, it's a touchback to the 35.
If it lands in the field of play and then goes into or through the end zone or is downed, it comes out to the 20.
Correct.
Right. So that's the only way to make it somewhat. That's what the Giants needed to do on the ensuing kickoff after Malik Nabers just touchdown with 25 seconds to go in the game. They needed to kick the ball somehow that landed in the field of play and then went into the end zone and was downed in the end zone.
Mm.
Because if you kick it through the end zone, I mean, you need 12 yards.
Yeah, you're in great field position.
And Brandon Aubrey's in field goal range.
You're in great field position.
But they were scared to death of Turpin.
Turpin was out of the game.
Oh, was he? I totally screwed that up. Okay.
Turpin got a concussion.
Oh, right.
And so it was Tolbert who was returning the kickoffs at that point. Either way, you're not kicking it to either one of those guys. You're just kicking it so it lands in the field of play and goes through the end zone. It's almost like a new skill that kickers kick off. Those guys, the kickers that are kicking off have to learn. Because otherwise, you're basically giving offenses a first down and a half and they're in field goal range.
Yes.
You have to somehow figure out how to get them to the 20 as opposed to the 35.
We'll get back to your phone calls. Giant fans and Jet fans, 888-808-1019.